Well, praise the Lord.
Dalaigan ng Diyos.
We are very glad to be here. We are glad for the liberty that we have, that we can travel to this place. I believe last year we did not come to this location. But I do believe that the situation of peace has gotten a little better. So that we can at least travel this far. Of course, if the Lord said to go, we would go wherever He said to go. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible today, I just want to start off with one verse in the book of Amos. It's the place that I left off yesterday, I believe it was. And then we'll go on to other places. And that verse will be in chapter 8. And verse 11. And I'll read it in English, and then maybe brother can read it in Cebuano. This is the prophet Amos. The prophet is giving a word that applies to not only his day, but a word that applies to our time. The word is talking about a day called the Day of the Lord. And brethren, we are preaching an end time message. We are preaching the kingdom of God. We are not preaching the kingdom of churches and religion and denomination and sect. But the kingdom of God. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God comes without observation. In other words, the kingdom of God is something that you will not see with your eyes. These eyes. Natural things. You will not find the kingdom of God with what you can see with these eyes, hear with these ears, feel, touch, measure. So even if you build a nice house here in this location, This natural house made of concrete and stones and wood, this is not the kingdom of God. So let me say again, the kingdom of God is within you. You are the house that God wants to dwell in. When you leave this building, God is not dwelling in this building anymore. He went with you where you went. This podium is not an altar that is holy and sacred when we are gone. Amen.
Amen.
There are no more sacred things made of wood and stone and gold and silver. Those things in the tabernacle of Moses were only a type and shadow of the real kingdom of God. That was only a reminder, and that was only a little introduction. And I'm sure the brethren tell you this many times. When I first heard this message, I had to hear it many times. The first time I heard it, I said, yes, that is true. That is the word I want to hear. But after I had heard it many times, then I began to understand so that I can also tell you what is the kingdom of God. So the life of the kingdom of God in you is fed by the Word and the Spirit. The Word is the bread of life. The Spirit is the water of life. So this verse in Amos is talking about the hunger and the thirst that is in our soul if you desire the kingdom of God. And the verse says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord."
Tanhawa ang mga adlaw mabot, nag-ingon ang Ginoo nga Dios, nga ako mo padala og usa ka gutom diha sa yuta, dili usa ka gutom sa tinapay, dili usa ka kauhaw sa tubig, apan sa pagpaminaw sa mga pulong sa Ginoo.
And the next verse, I'll just add to it as a little addendum, and it says, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." So the word of the prophet here is saying, there is coming a time when men will diligently seek, but it will be too late.
Ang propeta Amos naga mensahe kini nining mga panahon nga moabot kunya moabot ang panahon nga ang mga tao gusto lang maminaw sa pulong sa Dios pero di na kini makaplagat tungod kay kinsa ulahi na ang tanan.
So what I am saying today is Seek the Lord while he may be found. Jesus is the door. He is saying by the prophets and even by his own word, the day will come when the door will be closed. So here again, in February of the year 2018, there is still an opportunity to feed on the Word of God. Now, how does God get you ready? How does he prepare you to hunger for the real Word of God? You know, there's certain food that if you have not grown up eating that food, you don't like it. Certain cultures that we have been to, including here and in Africa, they have a certain way that they like to eat fish. And I have traveled to the far north. I have traveled I lived in Alaska for 5 years among the native Indian and Eskimo people there. And I was a public health nurse. I went to their villages to give them health care. And there were times that I arrived and they said, well, we cannot feed you. Why? Because we don't have your kind of food. So I said, let me try your food. So I remember this Eskimo family, they took the raw fish with the woman's ulu knife and they chopped it all up into little pieces. And it was raw and it was frozen. And then the mother put seal oil. This is the fat from the seal, and she put that all over this raw frozen chunks of fish. And the little children were so happy. And they had seal oil all over their face, you know. And now I understood why they all smelled like seal oil.
na mao na tuyang na mahuan sa maong lawas kay bigikan diay sa ngato nga mantika.
And they made me duck soup.
Duck.
Do you have ducks here? The duck that swims on the water. And so I took a big ladle, and the duck's head was in the ladle. And another one, the duck's feet. So I said, I'll try another. Well, I ate a little, but I wasn't very hungry. So, you see, God has to get us used to eating His kind of food.
Imo makita din niya, no? Kung naay mga ang Dios nga pakita ka nato, o kung sa ang mga pagkaon nga iyang ipakaon sa matang usa.
Let me go to the book of Numbers.
Nato ko nung susihon kining libro sa mga Numbers.
Numbers, chapter 11.
Kapitulo 11.
Amen. And let us start in the first verse.
Atong sugdan kini siya sa versikulo 1.
And it says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the outermost part of the camp.
Og sa dihang ang katawhan nireklamo, kini wala nakapahibuot si Ginoo. Og ang Ginoo nakadungog niini, og ang iyang kasuko na harling, og ang kasuko si Ginoo misunog diha kanila, og miutot kanila nga diha sa kinatumiang mga pahin sa kampo.
Now the first problem that we have is that we complain.
Ang primero problema nga naa kasagaran sa kanato, ining pagbagulbol.
How many of you complain when things don't go your way? Nobody here ever complains? What do you complain about? Well, where I live, we have snow and we have cold.
Sa iyang ipuy-an, dito labihang baga ang ilahang ilang snow ng ice nila.
And we complain about it.
Unya, magpagulpul siya sa pastilang tugnawa pag ini ako nga tightness ni sugod na.
Oh no. We're getting more snow.
Sige sa ko pastilang nagadam na kabaga, nagadam na tugnaw, nagadam na kabaga ang ilahang kasulupon.
Now my car will get stuck unless I shovel snow. But you know what? We can't do anything about it. Move, yeah. Then I have something else to complain about. Yeah, I visited where he lives, where he doesn't get snow. Guess what I'll complain about there? It's too hot. What? No, I can't swim
24/7.
And they have plants that grow there that have prickly spines on them that hurt if you touch them. They have bugs and insects and things that crawl. No matter where I live, there are things to complain about. And the Lord said He did not like the complaining attitude of the people. It says the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled about it. The Lord is looking at our attitude. Because a complaining attitude is not the nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus endured every kind of suffering, and He did not complain to the Father about it. So the complaining brought about a fire from the Lord, and it began to consume those who complain. When I had my heart attack, as soon as my mind came back to functioning again, I began to complain. See, I didn't know I was complaining. I thought, well, I'm just saying the way things are. So I told the doctor, I said, "Doctor, I shouldn't have a heart attack. Look, I've never smoked. Look how good I have been." And I told my family, look how good I am. This shouldn't happen to me. And I reminded all the nurses in the hospital. And the Lord heard it. And the Lord, the voice of the Lord said to me, "Job's complaint." And the voice of the Lord stunned me. It hit me hard. I thought, what? What am I doing? I don't even know that I'm doing this. But the Lord has a problem with me. So I knew that I had to repent. And why was I complaining? Because I thought I was good. That means I was proud. And God had to put me in a difficult place
ang Dios ibutang kita niya diha sa lisod nga dapit.
And show me the attitude of my heart in order that I might repent.
Iya kana ditoy aron makita nato unsa ang pagkamasigarbuhon nato kasing-kasing gusto sa Dios ang kita makahinulsod ni.
So he is dealing with Israel, he is dealing with you and I.
Mao na kun nagpadlong man ang Dios kadto sa Israel, mao pasabot niya nga sa nagpadlong usab siya nga kanato.
To make us hunger and thirst after his kind of food.
Bapa, gituyo ka na niya aron ang matagos ka na itong maabot kita sa kagutom o magkapaminaw, magkapangita sa pagkaon nga iya sa Dios.
So it says in the fourth verse, and he says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us flesh to eat?
Sa versikulo 4 na ngayon,
upang nasagol kapanon, nariyak na nila nakulong sa panibo. Kung ang mga anak sa Israel sa mihila pag-usap o maingon, kinsa ang muhatag ka nato kung unot aron makaon?
Who will give us flesh to eat?
Nagayon sila ka, kinsa may makahatag ka nato nindog na pagkaon o unot na po kay magbukong na nalipirmi.
Now, do you know what a mixed multitude is? What is a mixed multitude? That means that not all of them were pure. Well, you found that out when they made the golden calf, didn't you? Those that wanted the golden calf and said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt, that was not very pure, was it? In other words, that was Egypt kind of thinking. So I believe that there were some Egyptians that came out with the children of Israel. And they were supporting the Egyptian way of thinking among the children of Israel.
Nga imo makita ni imo makita niya nga ang matag usa kanila nagtampay nga sila sa paghunahuna nga para matagbo kuno sa ilang gusto nga mahimo.
Now when we say Egypt, what we mean is the world.
Kung makakita ka dito sa Biblia na kanang pulong o lugar na Egypto, pwede pasabot niya na kalibutan.
Amen. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt.
Si Pharaoh siya ang hari sa Ehipto.
Satan is the prince of this world.
Si Satanas mao ang prinsipe ni kalibutan.
Pharaoh did not want to let God's people go.
Si Pharaoh dili sa gusto nga iyang buian ang makatawhan sa Dios.
Satan does not want to let God's people out of the world.
Mao sa Satanas usab niya kung dili siya gusto nga mapagawas ang mga tao gikan sa ilang pagtulon sa kalibutan.
Even after you come to Jesus Christ,
nabisan pa kani nakasinati kita nakaabot kita diha kang Kristo Jesus.
He wants your soul to be thinking like Egypt. He wants you to desire the things of Egypt. He wants your emotions to be moved by the things of Egypt.
Gusto niya ang mga ito ang pagbati, magamang giniriya sa mga butang na naa sa Egypto.
He wants you to like the kind of music that comes from Egypt.
gusto siya nga o sa man ang imong nadunggan o mga musika ang gigan sa Egypto iyan parang yan pagkilingin mo ang gabinahan karon.
And if you're going to be an elder or leader of a church, the people are going to say, well, why can't our church be like the other churches? Why? And what has happened is the ways of the world have come into the churches. And even after the children of Israel came into the promised land, there came a time when they wanted to have a king because the other nations have a king. They wanted to be like the world. They wanted a pastor like the world. And if you heard the word that Brother George brought yesterday, Jesus made it clear that this is the way the world operates, but my kingdom does not operate that way.
Si Brother George nagpasabot yung kagahapon pa dito sa mga meeting, sa mga panagtigong, nga ang kinayahan sa tanas orang ang kalibutan, gusto niya nga magpadayon gihapon ang iyahang pagpamuhan kung asa kita nabita.
It says that they fell to lusting.
Nagayon niya sila nagawa-una sa walay katapusan.
My little note in the center of the Bible says that they yielded to intense craving.
Ang buot ipasabot sa last day may soon, inang iuyon ang ilahang gustong maangkon. Ilagihatag ilatogalikon niini.
It was so bad that they weren't just complaining, they started crying about it. I mean, it really got to their soul. I'm going to die! You know? And what did they say? We, verse 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic.
Kami na hinumdo sa isda, namung ikaon sa ito, walay bayad. Ang mga pipino, ang mga melon, ang mga tatsir, o ang mga sibuyas, o ang mga ahos.
Now, just because of this verse, don't take this in the natural. You don't have to cut fish and cucumbers out of your diet. It's not wicked, it's not sinful to eat fish and cucumbers and onions. God was trying to do something with them in their spiritual life. He was trying to teach them that they're going to have to let go of Egypt.
Iyang gusto nga tun-an ang iyahang katawan, mga katawan sa Dios nga kinahanglan dili na ninyo pangandoyon kato mga butang ang hitabok ninyo sa Ehipto.
You're going to have to change your old appetite.
Kinahanglan nga mabag-o na sab ang imong kaganahan nga pagkaon.
The kind of things you used to like.
Magbutang na anad na ka sa pagkaon. Utruhan na po.
You don't quit them just because there's a law that says, well, now you're a Christian, you can't do that. You change because God has put another law in your heart.
Atong maalis dyan siya tungod kay gusto ang Diyos mo sa misal o bakiyahang balaon sa ato ang kinabuhi.
And you yield to the law of the Spirit that is within you.
Ginahanglan na muuyon kita sa unsay balaon sa Espiritu nga niya sa atong kasing-kasing.
And as you begin to yield to the change that God is bringing about, you find that you have no more interest in those things from Egypt. I have no more interest in that kind of television. I have no more interest in that kind of movie. I have no interest in that kind of music. Don't bring it into my church. I have no interest in the kind of things that people drank in the bars. I have absolutely no desire to get high on some kind of drug. No desire whatsoever. Amen. I don't desire the things that are in some of the magazines that I can find. There is no lust in me for it. Jesus was like that. He said, "The prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me." Satan brings all these desires and says, "I'll give you this, I'll give you that." Satan, I'm not interested in what you have to give me. Satan, it is written, I've been feeding on the Word of God. I'll give you all the power, I'll give you authority, you can do this. Not without Jesus, not without the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not interested. If you have any lusting in you from Egypt yet, that means there is a place that the enemy could come and get a hold of you and make you fall. Cleanse my heart, O Lord. Wasn't it David that said, "Cleanse my heart, O Lord, make me ever pure"? So there's two things. We have to have a desire, and we have to have the help of the Lord to do it.
Unya kinahanglan nga magpangita kita og tabang sa Dios.
Now the Lord has to give us these trials so that we are aware of our problem. Did you hear me? Like I said, from my own experience, if I had died the day of my heart attack, I know, I would have gone into the presence of Jesus Christ, into His place of paradise. But you see, I had been making a prayer that I wanted to be among the sons of God. Not just a baby, not just a child, but I wanted to be a son of God. And so, God is not finished with you, brethren. Because you are born again, you are saved, that you will have eternal life. But it does not make you yet a son of God. You're in the family, but you're not a son. And so God is not going to give up on you. He's going to keep working on you until the day He takes you home. You see, our goal is not just to make heaven. The thief on the cross that repented, he made heaven. And it was the mercy of God. Because the other thief, I'm sure he went to hell. But he never had an opportunity to overcome the things that made him a thief. Can't hear you, Bert. Yeah, the first thief. Yeah, the thief that was saved. So he never became a son of God. Now, you're still here, and in all probability, you have more days and more years yet to live. What are you going to do with these days that you have to live? What is your heart's desire going to be? What are you going to pursue for these coming years? Are you going to be pursuing bigger and nicer motorcycles and what is your life goal going to be? Bigger houses, more money, whatever, you know?
Mansion,
You see, there's a church that preaches the doctrine of prosperity. You can go to that church if you want. I'm sure you can find them around here somewhere. You can find a church that says, well, once you're born again, you can do anything you want, live any way you want, you'll be raptured, it doesn't, you know, do anything you want now. See, this kind of preaching is not going to bring you to become a son of God. But we're preaching a message that says that God will be disciplining you. In the same way, I believe I brought a message here a couple years ago about training your children. God wants you to train and discipline your children, make them behave, teach them obedience. And likewise, He intends to deal with you as sons the same way. You're not going to like it. No, your flesh isn't going to like it. They said, where will we get flesh? What they meant was, my flesh. My carnal desires. These are the things I want, and I'm not getting enough of it. You know that my flesh never gets enough. You feed your flesh, you give it everything you want. This is the people in the world do this. They go out on Friday night, Saturday night, they give their flesh everything they can possibly give it. And on Monday morning, their soul is just as dried up as it was the week before. It doesn't satisfy. And brethren, the kind of church that offers you the cheap things, it does not satisfy. You go out the next week, you find you cannot overcome. You are not living a victorious Christian life. You are not getting the bread of life. You are not drinking the water of life. So God wants to change your appetite. And verse 6, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes.
Pankaroon ang among kalag naguga, wala bisan unsa gawas niining mana atubangan sa among mga mata.
You see, their needs were being met. But their wants were not being met.
Pero ang ilang gusto, wala yun ingong matagbaw.
They were healthy. They weren't full of disease. Their garments were not rotting. Their shoes were not wearing out. But the problem was not that their natural body was not cared for. The problem, they admitted, was in their soul. Now is our soul dried away? There is nothing but this manna before our eyes. What does it matter what your eyes see? What you're eating is good for you. It tastes good. They knew what it tasted like. It tastes like coriander seed. I don't know what that is, but I know it wasn't that bad. So you see, they were looking at the natural things. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh, my taste. Lust of what the spice of leek and onion does to me. It's spicy. This is why people sin, you know. It's not because they have a need for adultery or anything like that. No, this is not why people sin. It's because they want the taste of these unclean spirits. You see, the problem is in the soul. And the whole pattern of salvation that we've showed you in the tabernacle is a process of the salvation of your soul. Now, when you are first born again, all of your past sin is immediately forgiven because you had faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, He may have immediately taken away some of your desires. But He may have left some of them there for you to overcome. I've known people that have got saved and were instantly delivered of the desire for cigarettes. Every form of alcohol, nicotine. But I've known people also that spirit came back. And if you have not filled that place in your soul with the manna of God, the enemy has place to come in and take you back. See, you can forcibly stop doing some of the things that you did in the world by force. God wants to bring you to the place where you desire His nature so much that way of the world is not only of no interest to you, but it becomes repulsive to you. Hateful to you. You despise it.
Hateful.
You hate the things that you used to love. Okay, now let me go down to verse 8 and we'll finish up here in a little bit. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it.
Verse 18.
Those two verses, 8 and 9, in chapter 11. Now, we do not know to this day what this manna was. They did not know what it was. And the word manna in the Hebrew language means, what is it? So they went out and they gathered, what is it? Well, my wife, what are you going to do this evening? I would ask my wife, what are you going to do this evening? She would say, bring the basket and help me. We are going to gather, what is it? Oh, that stuff. Yes, my dear, we've been eating it for many days. But you see, the Word of God has to be fresh for you every day.
ang tinuod ini nga kinahanglan ko mahitungod man kani ko mahitungod man sa pulong sa Dios, kinahanglan ato kini siyang kaunon nga presko labas kayo sa matagal daw.
Now, if I wrote up this message that I gave you today, if I wrote it up a year ago, and it was a good word a year ago. So I'm going to do it the easy way. I'm just going to read to you what I wrote a year ago. And I read, and I read, and I read, and I read. But you are saying to me, Brother Mark, this is old manna.
Unya nakamatikul kami nga Brother Mark, balik-balik naman ni taon ng pagkaon.
It is beginning to spoil.
Nag-anam na ganin ng kadao, nabaho na ni.
It doesn't smell as good as it did a year ago.
Baho na kani ilili parias kalam asan tayo pinbiru po ibay mo ni Giwali.
Can we have some fresh manna today?
May mga kapanani
But you see, it is the Lord that brings the fresh manna. You can only get manna in this house once or twice a week. Do you only eat your natural food once or twice a week? Do you wake up hungry in the morning for food? And you want good food, you want fresh food. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bring us fresh manna. What makes it fresh? It is the life of the Spirit. If you want to go in the tabernacle, you can find that the loaves of bread were laid out fresh every day, 12 loaves, perfect number of government in God, fresh every day on the table. The lampstand burned with fresh oil every morning and every evening. The priest trimmed the lamp, made sure there was fresh oil in the lamp to burn. And the fresh oil is the life of the Spirit of God. Well, there's only so much food I can eat in one meal. So I believe that is enough manna for today. I pray God's blessing for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.